This cannot wait. We need to take care of this right now. Do not let them off the phone. See if maybe we can just tell them what she's saying, and then they can translate it for us.
We're going to try to tell you what she's saying. Okay.
Mahoba chinyam.
Mahoba chinyam.
Mahoba chinyam.
Mahoba chinyam. He says that doesn't mean anything.
Chum chinyakin. Chum chinyakin.
Chum chinyakin.
You got to go up.
Chum chinyakin. He said that doesn't mean anything either.
ខ្ញុំញ៉ាំមាត់បានមហូបខ្ញុំញ៉ាំមាត់កើតខ្ញុំមាត់ចូលចិត្តមហូបដឹងទេខ្ញុំមាត់ចូលចិត្តមហូបដឹងទេមហូបនេះអត់ឆ្ងាញ់ខ្ញុំមាត់ចង់បានមហូបនេះខ្ញុំមាត់ចង់នៅទៀតនេះទីនេះខ្ញុំទ្រាំមិនបានខ្ញុំមាត់ឆាយទ្រាំមិនបានខ្ញុំមាត់ឆាយទ្រាំមិនបានខ្ញុំមាត់ចង់បានមហូបនេះខ្ញុំមាត់ចង់នៅទៀតនេះទីនេះខ្ញុំទ្រាំមិនបានខ្ញុំមាត់ឆាយទ្រាំមិនបានខ្ញុំមាត់ឆាយទ្រាំមិនប
1 second. How do I do that?
Press hold and then intercom and then line.
Well, hold what then what?
Whatever line. Just
right, but how do
line.
I know which line?
Because it's blinking. You'll see it blinking.
What
and
blink?
It's flashing in front of you, Denise. Can you see it flashing?
The whole phone is flashing. I don't know how to work this over
the
phone.
Hold up. Hold the phone up. Hold it out as far as you can, and then they'll hear what she's saying. And tell them it's something Chinese. We think it's something Chinese. That's a good one. That's got to be something.
Did you get that? Good. He says, she says, I can't stand this. I wish I was dead. Please kill me. It's Khmer. She's Cambodian.
Cambodian? I knew it was something like that.
Michael Malice here. Yes, my feet don't touch the ground, but maybe my words will touch your heart with a fresh serving of Nightshade. And if there's anything I like to dish out, it is political chaos. There is panic on the streets of London. There is panic on the streets of Birmingham. Theresa May is in trouble deep. This is a very complicated story, so I'm going to try to speak slowly and efficiently to break it down, because the British parliamentary system is very different from our own, and there's all sorts of ways people can switch governments. It's like some like playing bridge or one of those weird card games where you have to know all the rules. Okay, according to the Sun, Theresa May could be gone as prime minister within 24 hours after Labour, the opposition party, tabled a vote of no confidence over her mammoth Brexit defeat. The mammoth being an irrelevant of the elephant. A relevant relative of the elephant. Well, this stroke has really fucked up my hosting of the show, but maybe I'll be Speaker of the House someday. The Prime Minister attempted to outflank Jeremy Corbyn, head of the Labour Party, the opposition, by effectively calling a vote of no confidence in the government in the wake of her defeat of 432 to 202. That is a massive loss. After Corbyn formally tabled the motion, it was confirmed that members of Parliament, MPs, will vote on whether or not to kick the government out of power at 7 p.m. British time tomorrow, which could trigger a general election, which will take place weeks before Brexit. This is carnage, carnage, carnage. She's likely to win tomorrow's confidence vote after the DUP, which is giving her confidence to supply in her minority government, confirmed they will continue to back her as prime minister despite opposing her strategy regarding Brexit. Now, here's how it goes. If two-thirds of parliament vote in favor of a motion which reads, quote, this house, not my house, this house has no confidence in Her Majesty's government, that's a really kind of cool way to put it, then there's 14 days for the government to pass one in favor. If that doesn't happen, a general election could be sparked. But it's not likely for a no-confidence vote to go through because Labour doesn't have the backing, as I said, of that Northern Irish Party, the Democratic Unionist Party, the DUP. Now, the last time there was a formal No confidence motion tabled in the House of Commons was in 1993, and Prime Minister John Major at the time called it himself and won by 40 votes. So basically, this is a way of calling your bluff, what he did. He's like saying, they're like saying, oh, we don't have confidence, we have confidence in you. He goes, all right, put up or shut up, let's vote. He wins the vote. Your thesis has been disproven, is basically how it works. Now, the last time a prime minister lost a no-confidence motion was in 1979 when Jim Callaghan lost by – or Callahan, I mean, I'm an American – lost by one vote, which triggered the general election that brought Margaret Thatcher to power. Speaking in the House of Commons today before the vote, Theresa May insisted that scrapping Brexit would be a betrayal of Leave voters, those who voted to leave, and claimed that no deal would also fail to honor the 2016 referendum result. Earlier, a Brexiteer, which is pro-Brexit amendment designed to junk the backstop, which I've discussed earlier, was defeated by 600 votes to 24. As Theresa May faces the darkest moment of her career, her shitty career, she has suffered the biggest ever defeat of any modern government when her deal was thrown out by that 432 votes to 202. That's like 2-1 against her. She went on to call a vote of confidence in her own government, backed up by Jeremy Corbyn. Tomorrow they'll vote whether to boot her out of office, which has sparked another election just weeks before Brexit. This is the breakdown. But the no-confidence vote isn't likely to succeed as she has the DUP backing her. Now, the prime minister is going to open cross-party talks tomorrow with senior members of parliament to find a way to push her deal through. The numbers here are insane against her. Boris Johnson, who's a prominent figure and former mayor of London in the Tories, backed Theresa May and told her she must go back to Brussels and reopen the deal as soon as she can. And EU leaders, European Union leaders, that is, said the deal was the best on offer, but they haven't ruled out reopening talks. She had earlier claimed this is the best deal we can get, and now that it got voted down, she's like, well, maybe we could talk a little more. Speaking minutes before the vote, she had said, tonight we will determine whether we move forward with a withdrawal agreement that honors the vote and sets it on course for a better future. This is a historic decision that will set our future for generations. We can decide. It's all too difficult. I can do her voice, but I won't. And give up. But I believe that we have a duty to deliver on the democratic decision of the British people. And blasting the idea of a no-deal Brexit, that's basically when they pull the trigger and leave and, you know, basically have to start from scratch to kind of figure out what that means. She added, I don't believe that's what the British people voted for. Well, they didn't vote for you. You got the minority government. Today, she was offered a lifeline from Germany, as the country's foreign minister said talks could be reopened if her deal is thrown out. And Labour's Sir Keir said today that MPs must start discussing a second Brexit referendum, raising hopes among campaigners that the party could back another vote. He said that politicians in Parliament should start discussing alternatives of what should happen next. Now, here are the options. Keep scrolling up. So this article is being redundant. Okay, so here are the likelihood of things happening. General election, okay? So the Sun gave it odds. So she faces the no-confidence vote tomorrow. The DUP says they're going to back her in it. The Tories are probably going to back her in it, and to maintain a Tory government, because it's easier to get rid of her than to get rid of their own majority or plurality. So that's pretty unlikely it'll pass, and Labour's going to be red-faced again. So they're giving that 1 in 5 odds. That's number one. Going soft is what they're calling it, that a cross-party group of members of parliament push forth an alternative soft Brexit plan to replace her plan, which would be welcomed by big business but would leave Brexit voters unhappy because it would mean Britain accepting open borders and following European rules. They're giving this 3 out of 5 odds, which is pretty good. They're calling the hard-as-nail scenario, which is the pro-Brexit Tories oppose her deal, want her to return to Brussels and strike a tougher line. Eurocrats currently insist it's impossible to reopen negotiations. So there's like a 2 out of 5 odds there that she goes back to the drawing board. And the idea of rerunning the referendum, where dozens of MPs want to have another referendum for Britain to stay, and basically we're just going to keep voting until we get the result get the result we want. Without the support of the government, it's unlikely this second vote could become reality. They're also giving that a 3 out of 5 odds. And finally, if she can't pass the deal, the legal default is that, as things stand now, if everyone does nothing, Britain leaves the EU without a deal on March 29th. So despite the legal position, the majority of MPs insist that they will take any measure necessary to rule out no deal. They're saying that's quite likely 4 out of 5. And cabinet ministers remain adamant that a version of her plan will eventually pass, even after losing tonight, and that they believe skeptical MPs will lose their nerve as the idea of no deal or second referendum approaches. They're giving a 3 out of 5 odds. So these are, I think that's the last one, right? These are the various scenarios playing out in Brexit. I said chaos. There's like, what, 8 possibilities happening, and this is happening very quickly in real time. I'm quite certain that everyone in Parliament on the Tory side is a couple things. They think Theresa May sucks, and they think Jeremy Corbyn is basically a Hamas-sympathizing Stalinist and will do everything in their power to keep him from taking over the government. The closest analog I could think of to Jeremy Corbyn in American politics, you'd have to go back to Henry Wallace. And I don't remember who was the head of the Democratic Party at the time, but during the FDR's 1944 run for president, his unprecedented fourth run, they forced him, FDR, to kick Wallace off the ticket as vice president and put in Harry Truman. FDR died shortly thereafter. Truman became president. And the head of the DNC said, I want to say on my tombstone, I kept Henry Wallace from the White House. So he's really, really, really out there. And he's very old left in the old, like, Stalinist totalitarian left. A very disturbing man indeed. So we've got a few videos to get through. So every day, there for the last, like, 5 days, there's been a new politician saying, and not a nobody, name politicians announcing that they are running for the Democratic nomination. We saw Elizabeth Warren send out her smoke signals. We saw Julian Castro do the same, former mayor of San Antonio, I believe. Tulsi Gabbard, congresswoman from Hawaii. And Kamala Harris, who is former attorney general and current senator from California, who is has some interesting tweets, to say the least. She put out a video last night. Before we play this video, let me point something out. Politicians, business people, they're corporate in a sense. They read the same articles people read. And all these articles talk about how important it is to have social media, social media, social media. Donald Trump was the social media president, blah, 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 blah. So all these people who want to be president are going to be hiring consultants who are, air quotes, social media experts. And whatever – social media has evolved so quickly, especially meme culture, that whatever ideas they have, I'm quite sure are going to be, let's say, even 2 years out of date. But at the same time, it's going to be so ham-fisted and so transparent that they're going to make laughingstocks of their clients. And then they could say, oh, it's the trolls. It's the this is what happens when you're effective. The trolls come at you. It's also what happens when you're ineffective. The trolls come after you. So Kamala Harris released this video yesterday trying to humanize her, the former prosecutor who's put more young men away than funny punchline. Let's take a little bit of this video, this cringe fest.
Hey, it's Kamala Harris.
Kamala.
And this
Kamala.
Is my mood mix. A song that has always made me dance. Check the rhyme, A Tribe Called Quest. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, pause, 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 pause. Ah, God. Oh, my God, no. No. Oh, my God. That looked like a soccer mom trying to be a sassy black woman. Oh, God. Did I do that? Jesus Christ. I'm very much reminded of when Hillary Clinton was on Charlemagne's show in the 2016 election campaign, and he asked her, he goes, what do you have in your purse that you carry around people be surprised about? She goes, hot sauce. They go, hot sauce? She goes, yes! And he goes, you're just pandering to black people, aren't you? And she goes, is it working? Can you find that clip, Hillary Clinton Morning Zoo? I when someone told me that she had said, is it working? I thought they were joking. And then I watched it and I'm like, how is this real? Like, how, like, as crazy as Trump is and all the crazy shit he does, people, he overshadows how crazy these other people are. Like, if he didn't exist, this video would be the craziest thing of 2016. You just put Hillary Clinton hot sauce or Hillary Clinton morning zoo, you'll find it pretty easily. It's like a 15-second clip. And you watch it, and the look on her face, she's very, very proud of herself for I don't even know what. I don't even know what. It's so weird. And I mean, at least she didn't say
so. Artificial intelligence helps us meet the needs of tomorrow.
Where's the video? The video.
It's just an ad.
Oh, okay. We're going to get back to the camera. So I also, by the way, people have asked me a lot on Twitter, and I want to point out, I think the possibility of Hillary Clinton running again is close to zero because she thinks it's beneath her to run against like 12 other fucking people, and I don't blame her. She got more votes than Trump, which, yes, it doesn't matter in the sense of who wins. It does matter in terms of you got a lot of people to vote for you. That's no minor accomplishment. So we got the clip?
We do got that
clip.
Okay,
let's play this. Yeah. Okay, oh, God help us. And there's no audio. There's no audio.
Get an information. No more questions? They said, no, she has to go.
What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Really?
You, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you getting information right now? Hot sauce. Hot sauce in my bag, Swag?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now, listen,
yes.
I just want you to know, people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Okay. Is it working?
Yeah. What the fuck? That's real. This is real. This is the smartest woman in America who is more experienced than anyone running for president. What the fuck? Okay, let's play some more of Kamala.
A song from my favorite
movie. You know how, pause it. You know how you know that someone's just like you and me? When they just burst into laughter at their own favorite song. This is what humans do, according to this brochure I got from my political consultant. Good fucking Lord. Okay, go ahead. Oh, God. Those shoulder pads.
Hey, it's this is by Prince. And Shallow by Lady Gaga. Okay, so it's supposed to be my favorite song at a cookout, but you don't play just one song at a cookout. You play a lot of songs at a cookout. And I highly recommend Lemonade by Beyoncé. A song that lifts my spirits always, Oh Happy Day by the Edwin Hawkins Choir.
That's a good song.
A song that has to be played loud because you have to hear the bass. The Sun is Shining by Bob Marley and the Wailers. Right? The sun is shining.
Okay, pause. Oh, no. Leave that up there. Leave that up there. This woman was a federal prosecutor who put a lot of people away in jail, which was her job. And now she's trying to be like the top cop on earth. And she's going to take on Drumpf, who's a Nazi and literally Hitler. And at the same time, this reminds me so much of the Megyn Kelly. When Megyn Kelly was on the Today Show and some music started playing, she's like, up. Humans don't start spontaneously dancing when they are on camera, I assure you. I have been on camera many times. It takes a lot to get me spontaneously dancing. Two scoops of pre-workout will do it, and magnesium. Good. And the other thing is, this is such, like, commie propaganda. Because, look, Kamala Harris, sunshine, happiness, smiles, dancing. We'll all be fun and happy and together as we're arrested for victimless crimes and raped in jail. All right, let's play some more of this.
A song that reminds me of Howard University, my alma mater, the Mecca, the real HU.
Hey, Jew,
Push It by Salt and Pepper.
This really speaks to me.
Because it was a real hit song when I was there.
Push It's about getting fucked.
Is Favorite it Push song it about getting from my fucked? Childhood. Young, Gifted, and Black by Aretha Franklin.
Okay, we can stop this. Stop this. Who is the whitest artist on that thing? Was it Beyonce? Was Beyonce like the whitest? Because Beyonce's pretty fucking basic bitch. I think she was, that was the, well, okay. Kamala's trying to keep it street, trying to keep it real. I don't even know where to go with this. But I think there's going to be a lot more. And the other thing is the framing of that. that is so ripe for parody. It's so easy to get some... it's so easy to get someone in a wig and a chair and a white background and act a fool, shoulder pads, that, I mean, but maybe they think, oh, if people are mocking me, it spreads my message and makes me look human. Who the fuck knows? Speaking of making people look human, there was a Gillette ad that a lot of people, you know what? Before we go to Gillette, we're going to do Kristen Gillibrand. Also, Kristen Gillibrand from New York State Senator, junior senator from New York, she's sitting in Hillary Clinton's Senate seat. She is announcing that she's running for president. She announced it on Colbert, which is a comedy show and not at all a partisan left-wing hatchet job show. And I have covered politics for a very long time. I had never heard her speak before. And my voice is one of my least favorite qualities. But when you hear her talk, you're going to be like, oh, okay. No, we're not doing this. Let's play a little bit of Ms. Gillibrand.
Well, there's been a lot of speculation as to why you're here tonight, and I just wanted to point out to everybody, what could she possibly have to talk about? She was here in November. I mean, November, take out the holidays, you were basically here last week. So, I'm just curious, do you have anything you would like to announce?
Yes.
And what would that be, madam?
I'm filing an exploratory committee for President of the United States tonight.
Tonight. There you go. Okay, well, thank you for telling everybody here. Thank you very much. I'm honored that you're here.
Wait, well, we get on her closet, okay?
Why do you want to be President of the United States?
Well, I know why, because presidents get eyebrows. You know, when you become president, you get the free Donald Trump hair treatment. Like, they get, like, it's a double comb over. Leave it up. Someone did, I think it was Vanity Fair, they did a 360 degree of Trump's head to figure out how he does his hair like that. Am I blind? Does she have no eyebrows?
I heard she lost them in the war.
I mean, no, but do you see eyebrows there?
No.
It's like an alopecia thing. And that voice, and the thing is, in all seriousness, this is a big, Camille Paglia talks about this a lot. A big advantage women have over men in politics is they can dress better than men. A guy's in a suit, there's only so much he could do with it. There's a difference between looking serious and looking professional and then looking like literally the mannequin at the Gap, for Gap moms. I mean, where's the, like, a little American flag pin, a necklace, a brooch? Something.
It's a nice mic clip she has on there.
Yeah.
Best accessory.
Yeah. This is really odd and bad. And here's the other thing. This broad has no chance in hell because she came out not that long ago and condemned Bill Clinton for what he did in the 90s. And the Clintons are the most vindictive people in politics. When Bill Richardson, former governor of New Mexico and a Clinton cabinet member, you know, endorsed Obama over Hillary. And this was something about it was a great opportunity. This is, you know, crossing a racial barrier. He was inspired by Obama. It was not some kickback. It was clearly a principled thing on Richardson's part. The Clintons never talked to him again. So this bitch who owes her Senate seat to Hillary, and now she's going after Bill. No. This is not going to end well for her. Let's play some more of this.
I'm going to run for president of the United States because as a young mom, I'm going to fight for other people's kids as hard as I would fight for my own.
Pause it. Well, it would be interesting if she said, I would fight for other people's kids as hard as I'd fight my own. I stole that joke, I think, from Comfortably Smug. Here's the other thing. In 2008, Obama got a lot of traction correctly because when Hillary launched her campaign, her video was just all platitudes. Platitudes, platitudes, platitudes. And she ran in a platitude campaign in 2016. Again, she did not hit the learn button, so to speak. Obama had some specific ideas, you know, and was much more specific than her, although he's somewhat vague, saying things like, I'm going to run for president to fight for people's kids. I'm a mom. Who gives a shit? That's not going to take down Trump. everyone is going to be saying, I'm for kids, I'm for better neighborhoods, middle America. That is not how you separate yourself out from that pack. I mean, if you just look back at the Republican field in 2016, it was hard for people, even Rand Paul, whose positions were probably the most different from everybody else, he was at 1%. I mean, it was very, very hard to stick out when you've got all those people. And not only that, she's already the, what, fourth woman running. Elizabeth Warren, Tulsi Gabbard, Kamala Harris, and Gillibrand. So she's number four. So the idea that, like, I'm a woman running for the nomination, even that's like, bitch, you're not even getting the bronze. And there's going to be plenty of other possible. Amy Klobuchar looks like she's running also, senator, I think, from Minnesota or Wisconsin. They found someone left in some coffee shop or something mock-ups of logos of her presidential campaign logo. So that's going to be five. I mean, if you want to count Cory Booker, that's a cheap joke. I don't like that one. Okay, sorry. Take that back. Go ahead.
Which is why I believe that health care should be a right and not a privilege. It's why I believe we should have better public schools for our kids.
Pause it.
It shouldn't matter what.
Is there literally anyone from any party who's against better public schools? I can't imagine being home like, well, why should I vote for this, like, albino? Oh, the albino has a child. Well, that's unique to no one. Oh, the albino wants better public schools. Oh, okay. Do you want lower crime, too? And common sense budget control in Washington. Let's see what else. What other idiocy she has to say?
Block you grow up on, and I believe that anybody who wants to work hard enough should be able to get whatever job training they need to earn their way into the middle class. But you are never going to accomplish any of these things if you don't take on the systems of power that make all of that impossible, which is taking on institutional racism.
Pause it. Does she mean drain? So this is just her saying drain the swamp, but the left-wing version. The idea that this woman is whiter than Hitler's pee, and the idea that she's going to do a better job fighting institutional racism than, like, Julian Castro. Tulsi Gabbard, who is Hindu from Hawaii, which is, like, the most diverse state in America, I believe, and Kamala Harris, you're going to run on fighting racism? Even though Kamala Harris actually fought black people by being a prosecutor and in her job. But this, I'm against racism. I'm going to vote for this. Are you serious? She's the face of white supremacy, quite literally. Go ahead.
It's taking on the corruption and greed in Washington, taking on the special interests that write legislation in the dead of night. And I know.
Wait, pause it. This show airs at 11:30. You stupid lady, it's literally called The Late Show. Why? We can't have people writing legislation in the dead of night. That's the time for announcing your presidential campaign, stupid. It's the racist special interests. Go ahead.
That I have the compassion. Courage.
So brave.
And the fearless determination to get that done.
Oh, she has courage and determination. Wow, what a fucking train wreck this is going to be. And the best part is Trump hit it. I just retweeted. He's already gone after her, like, last year when he said she came to his office like begging and would do for campaign contributions and would do anything. And people are like, oh my God, he's saying that she wanted to blow him, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, if you're letting him clown you and define you, the way you're not going to let Trump define you is say, I want better public schools and I'm against racism and special interests. Oh, okay. I don't understand how people who get to that level of power and who are at a point where they're thinking of running for president and have a good shot at running for president think that they can just say any brand has to have some competitive advantage. This is business like 201. You have to have, it's either I'm cheaper than the other company, so you're going to save money if you get me, or it could be, okay, I'm higher quality than the other company, or I'm more popular, or I'm less known, so you get cred. Something, anything. If you're verbatim something that any Republican can say, the possibility of you sticking out of the pack is very, very low. And in all fairness, I can't think of a good reason if I were sitting down with her, why I would say, yeah, you should run and you have a shot at the nomination. She doesn't have any, she does not seem very charismatic at all. Kamala Harris, to her credit at the very least, had somewhat more of a personality in that video than she did. Tulsi Gabbard is, you know, they've gone after her because she's very unorthodox in her views. And Elizabeth Warren is extremely knowledgeable when it comes to policy and issues. So that's a very big advantage for her. And she's been a Trump target, so she gets to be like, look, he's been hitting me for 2 years, and I can take it. That's because I'm the toughest one. So I look forward to whichever cretins are going to be running for the Democratic nomination in the next few days. Cory Booker, I bet you, is going to run, announced within by the end of the month. But until then, I'll wish you nothing but sweet dreams.
I hope they don't have diabetes.